It is the start of a new ministry year here at Renew Church. Everything's kind of getting in gear. Next Sunday is kind of our kickoff with our new series that we'll be starting. I don't know how many of you remember these things from vision message to vision message or from fall to fall or whatever, but in last fall's vision message, I outlined 10 different goals, including, but not limited to, starting what we're calling anchor causes, finding hub leaders to give direction to those, starting to stream our services online again, hosting some really great events, and starting a mentorship program as well. I want you to know that of those 10 goals that we set last year, we hit 8, maybe 9, maybe say a good 8.5 of those. So you know what they say, 8.5 out of 10 ain't bad, right? So that's, they don't say that, but that's pretty good. So we're encouraged by that. That takes a lot of work. There was a lot of people that got behind a lot of those different initiatives, and we're really happy about that. Today, I want to let you know what to expect this upcoming year. There are a lot of things in flux right now at Renew Church, so I want you to kind of be aware of what's happening and what's coming up as best as I'm able to tell you at this moment. But I also want to take a few minutes before we get into that to look back a little bit, all right? Sort of what we're calling a year in review. And as I'm talking about this, we're just going to have some pictures on the screen that you can look at, all right? We decided this year that we wanted to start mentorship. And so we started the Compass Mentorship Program. Lots of people signed up for the program, either to be a mentor or to be a mentee. And it was really, really well received. It was great just to see people making those connections. I think even just relationally between older and younger people in our church, that was awesome. We said that we wanted to roll out membership this year, and so we rolled out kind of a formal membership process, and we have more people in our membership signed up than we have actually on a regular attendance on Sunday. So that went extremely, extremely well. We said we wanted to do events, so we did all kinds of events. You're seeing some of them here on the screen. We did a harvest party. We did. You can cheer for any of these if you really love them. The harvest party, trunk or treat. We did 3 different retreats, men's, women's, and couples retreat. A gingerbread event at Christmas. Exponential, the staff went to that. So if you're on staff, that was great. We enjoyed it. An Easter egg hunt we did here in Meadowvale, which had a ton of people show up. It was cold, but it was awesome. We had a special worship service. The young people went to Momentum this year. Cheer for Momentum. You got to do that. We did a barbecue kind of picnic here for the church. We did movies in the park this summer, which was great. We got some anchor causes going. And yeah, we did walking groups and game nights at both Milton and here in Meadowvale. And these have been really well attended through the summer. We've been really encouraged, actually, by the turnout, and we're going to continue to roll those into the fall. We asked everybody, don't be a stranger, we said, and we did a little sort of campaign on that through the summer, and we have some time still left. We asked everybody just to reach out and to connect with somebody that isn't from the church and to make that connection. We had some fellowship connections as well that we took part in this year. This summer particularly, we had some people go down to our Access Conference. In fact, we supplied the whole AV tech team at the national conference this year, which is pretty impressive because that's how good our tech team is here at Renew. I was able to stick around in St. Petersburg and meet Wade Reininger and his family and all of the people that are part of his core team that we're supporting as they get their church started down there. And a number of us went out to the GFC Summit in Vancouver this year as well. So how many of you were in Vancouver this year? You'll see a couple of those pictures. That was really awesome as well to see our sister church out there in Vancouver. We've seen a lot of new connections being made over this year and even into the summer, new couples that are joining us as well. And at the end of the year, when our giving was just sort of a little behind, we encouraged everybody to see if they could, you know, do a little more to kind of catch up on that. And we went from being 15% behind budget to only being 9% behind budget just in those last 2 weeks. So, yeah. So there was a lot of real sacrificial giving that took place there, and we were very, very encouraged by that. So, yeah, I hope that those pictures encourage you. When I look at those, I get a lot of smiles because there's a lot of people that are engaged throughout the entire year doing all kinds of different things. And we forget sometimes about how much stuff is going on here at our church and how many connections are taking place and how much fun there is and how much joy there is. We do have a few challenges, and I do want to mention those today. First of all, the economy has definitely impacted giving. We know this to be true, and we track this. We've been doing it for many years, and we can kind of tell when things that are happening impact the giving at our church. And so that's something that we need to work through, something we need to continue to pray about. We pray for you guys. We want you to know. Our staff and elders pray for all of you that you will have the jobs that you need and the income that you need so that you also can be generous. And so we'll continue to pray for you. If you are in need, be sure to let us know because we're a family here and we'll help take care of you during the time that we need to while you're getting your feet under you. So just let us know that. 4 o'clock on Sunday is another challenge for us. meeting in the afternoon. Some of us have kind of come to like it because we like sleeping in on Sundays now. But those that like football, really, they're distracted even right now as I'm speaking, I can tell you. There are other things, though. I actually have a mentor, an older pastor that I meet with every month. And he, when I originally told him that we meet at 4 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, he said, "Really? I can't think of a worse time to meet than 4 o'clock on Sunday afternoon." We know that it does impact things. I've actually had people that I've talked with that came and checked us out at Renew on 4 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. And I got talking with them, and they really enjoyed the service. And they said, "Yeah, do you have something in the morning?" I said, "No, but Hope is a great church. If that's the time you need to be here, you know where to find them. It's right here," right? So, we know that that is something that impacts people coming and joining us. And so it is something that we want to figure out. Not having our own space is also something that does impact us. And we know that that continues to be a challenge for us. It's just, we have our offices and we're thankful for that. But, just having space that we can be using for different things through the week, it would be something that would be really nice. And it's something that we want to work toward. These are all challenges that we are addressing, and through God's grace, we will prevail. We are going to get through these things. We are going to get to better kind of conditions for us in terms of growing as a church. And so I'm not discouraged by any of these challenges. In fact, you're going to hear that we have some things kind of in motion already, and we're moving in a good direction. So we'll talk about that in a little bit. I have some thank yous that I want to make, and that is, first of all, I want to thank everyone who just works to stay connected at Renew Church through services, through our Renew groups, through our classes, through different social things that you can take advantage of. I just want to thank you, because coming out of COVID, you know what? It was something that wasn't kind of natural to some people anymore, and it was something we had to work back toward, and I find that people at Renew are doing a good job at that, at just staying connected with other people. I want to thank everyone who volunteers and who volunteered this past year at Renew, especially our ministry leaders who have stepped up to kind of take ownership of different areas of ministry and get other people involved. It really requires volunteers doing that for us to function as a church and to grow. And so we certainly appreciate everyone that has done that. I want to thank everyone who gives. As I said, I know that people are giving sacrificially. I talk with other people and other pastors, and I've dealt with these metrics for almost 30 years, and I know when I compare the metrics of our church compared to other churches that we are a strong giving church. For the number of people that we have people that really are committed, and that shows in the way that they give. And sometimes when I share, kind of the general numbers with other pastors, they actually, their eyes get wide and say, "Wow, you have some really committed people." And so I commend you for that. I want to thank everyone who prays for our ministry. Prayer is so important. Dependence is our first core value here at Renew, and we want to go to God first in everything. And so thank you for praying. We need people to pray. We're in a spiritual battle, if you haven't figured it out. We're in a spiritual battle with an enemy who is real and who's working against us, who's working against our families and our kids. We need to pray all the time. We invite people to pray after every service. Just come up if you have something you need to pray about. And we thank you for praying. I thank you for praying for me personally and for the staff and for our elders and for those who make decisions. It makes a difference. Literally, sometimes different leaders, my wife actually said it this week. She said, "I knew people were praying because of this." And it's powerful. And so thank you for praying. I want to thank all of our Renew Group leaders. You guys are serving as under-shepherds, as, you know, pastors in our church. And so thank you for the time that you give to be, you know, there to rally other people around you. You know, the Bible compares us in God's flock to sheep, right? We are, and we tend to scatter. And so we need someone that kind of brings us together. And that's what our Renew Group leaders do. And they just, they're point people for us. They're resource people for us. They're pastors, they're shepherds, and they look out for people and they're watching and they encourage. So guys, your role is so important. Thank you. I want to thank our staff. We have a fantastic staff here at Renew Church, and they do so much good work. And that's been true for a long time. We've had changes and we've had turnover and so on. But you know what? Our staff, they just roll with the punches. You know, we lost a key staff person this year, and other people just came in around and filled in the gaps. And it was incredible how seamless it was getting through that. And so I have so much confidence in our staff. They do such great work. And there's such a great team spirit among them, so I thank them. And I want to end here just by thanking the elders of our church. In fact, I want to put the picture up there. In case you don't know them, we try to get them on stage as much as we can. Some like it more on the stage here than others. but you'll see them up here reading scriptures. Some of them will speak from time to time. And we're very blessed. We actually have two former pastors on our elder board. And so these guys and their wives, they really do a lot for our church. They're praying for you constantly. You do not know how much these guys are doing in the background. Like, there's so much stuff that they're doing. They're visiting with people. They're helping through difficult situations. They meet with me. I've actually started meeting with two of them every month just for my own encouragement. And they do that too. They're all involved in different ministries in different ways. Some of them are already leading groups or other major ministries. They're teaching classes. They have their eyes and ears open for what's going on. And I also want you to know, you can go to any of these guys anytime you want. They understand our church. They understand the doctrine of our church. They understand our values. And they just have a lot of life experience. And sometimes I can understand that you don't want to necessarily go to like the lead pastor or someone else on staff with something you're struggling with. Don't hesitate to check with these guys, right? Just look them up, and they would be happy to meet with you and encourage you in anything. So yeah, give the elders a big hand again, because these guys are great. And anything that I'm going through or struggling with, it encourages me. Every time I have our monthly elder meeting and I get together with these guys, I just get so encouraged, and they're awesome. A few staff changes just to make you aware of in case you weren't aware. We mentioned Inga Limsaputro. She is stepping in now as our children's director instead of Genevieve, and we thank Genevieve for the great work that she did while she was in that role. We've been trying to get Genevieve up on the stage. I don't think that's ever going to happen. She did stand up here earlier, so thanks, Jen, for that. That was pretty big of you to do that, so thank you. Denise Gervais, as I said, is our discipleship director now, and so we're really encouraged with her in that role. Speaking of Amaral's, Liam Amaral is now a youth intern with us this year. So he will be overseeing the junior high. He'll be under the direction of Jake Troughton, and working with the junior high specifically. So every second week, they're going to have their thing that they do here at church on Sunday. But then also, he will be overseeing the program at Maverick on Tuesdays. And so Liam is going to school at Redeemer. He's training, and we want to get behind him and encourage him. He's been really involved in our church already with our young people. So it was kind of a no-brainer to try to support him a bit as he's paying for his school and to give him other opportunities. On a non-staff note, but still significant, the McCallums are taking over Compass Mentorship this year. So Darcy and Vicky, thank you guys for doing that. One of the things we decided this year, I think our mentorship went really well last year, and we were really happy with the turnout. We wanted to kind of work a few bugs out and just see how we could improve it. And the biggest thing that we said is we really want to have more coaching and support for the mentors this year. We kind of released them and didn't give them a lot of instruction. And some of you that were in the mentor role, you're kind of like, I'll do this, but I really don't know what I'm doing. we want to actually give you a little more support and a little more coaching this year so that you know how to do that. The signups are a little slow in coming in, but I just want to encourage you one more time. You heard Denise say it earlier. Sign up today if you're interested in mentoring or being mentored. We have a training that's happening next Saturday, and we would love to have you there for that, where we're going to kind of get you off to a good start. So please be there for that. Sign up today before you put your head on the pillow tonight. Sign up. We would love to have you in one of those roles, either mentor or mentee. And I know we kind of talked a lot about like people 35 and under. If you're older than that and you still would really like to be mentored, let us know that too, okay? Because we're really trying to create more opportunities for people. And we want to create some good connections that will be something that will build into your spiritual life, okay? There is so much good that's happening at our church, and I just want to highlight a few more things. When I was sitting down and just thinking about sort of a year in review, you saw a bunch of pictures already, and we talked about a bunch of good things, but I also just wanted to mention some specific things that just came to my mind this year. One of them that came to my mind was our Sunday dinner team that puts on our monthly Sunday dinner. They just kind of said, we want to do this and sort of ran with it. And now it's become like this mini production that happens every month. And the food is always so good and nutritious. And the fellowship is so great just hanging out. And you'll have it, if you have never witnessed it, we're having that right after the service here today. And just the deeper connections that it's provided, it's awesome. And so I really appreciate that. I thought about all of the people that were being mentored and those that that participated in that. This was the final kind of gathering. I wasn't there for that. I was away, but that was the final gathering and everybody getting together, mentors and mentees, women and men together, and just so much good that was happening through that. Little things come to my mind as well, just little snapshots. One of them that came to my mind was when we were doing the harvest party and some of us on staff were there early, the Bernard kids were there helping out. They were shucking corn. They were doing little errands and stuff. I didn't get Caitlin's picture up there. But just seeing young people like that participate and help out, we know they're getting some encouragement from the parents. Right? We're not ignorant of that. But it was just really cool. And to see young people stepping up into these different areas is very encouraging. One of the things that came to my mind was Deborah Ng and how she's been battling cancer and all of the support that she got from our church through that. And she's just doing so well now. And we're so encouraged to see how far she's come. And so continue to pray for her. But, you know, she's just really done amazingly well. And I know that they've been really gracious, very thankful for the gracious support that you've all shown. I think of Julia Harris right here. Julia, just how much you've been helping out in our kids program. We've talked a lot over the last few years, and I've just seen her grow so much, and she's been helping out. There's a picture that was actually at Movies in the Park. She's been helping out there too. But people like that are stepping into these roles, it's really encouraging. The commitments that were made at Momentum, you know, every year, the crew that goes down there, it's a lot of work to get the whole team down there. And I always hear of good stories of people coming back and making new decisions, new commitments, deepening in their relationships with each other. And, you know, these students sometimes going down a little bit disconnected and coming back with a sense of being brother and sister with someone else in the youth group and having that strength together. And just knowing that they have people to lean on, it's really encouraging. Young people that have gone off to Bible school, my son Joseph and Isaiah Bryant are a couple that come to mind just recently, and so that's pretty cool. Joseph actually, the day after classes started, decided, okay, I'm going to go back. He was really holding out. We weren't pushing him, but it took the Spirit a little longer to get him to go. Isaiah was shot a little video from the campus down at Grace College, which is the flagship school of our fellowship, so pretty cool to see him off there as well. And these guys are getting Bible training and other training for the future. It's awesome. I love seeing young adults going into ministry. Brandon Ting is a guy that comes to mind, and we're getting behind him and supporting him as he's taken on a full-time role now with campus ministry, and these are some of the students that he's been ministering to. He's hiding down in here, you see that? But we've had Brandon speak here. We're going to give him more opportunities to do that and maybe teach some classes this year as he continues to grow in his ministry. I love seeing all of the young people getting baptized. And we had a number of people this year, people like Mark and Rachel and Zuriel and John and others that were baptized this year. it just doesn't get any better than that when you're seeing people, especially young people, just committing their lives to Jesus and saying, yeah, professing publicly, I'm following Jesus in my life. So I just want to say, I love this community that we have, that we're a part of. It wears me out sometimes. I'll be very honest with you. It can be tiring, and all of our staff could attest to this. I was listening to a podcast actually this week by a guy named Andrew Clavin. He's a conservative commentator, kind of an entertaining one, but he was discussing the trend of young people that we see, especially in the West and North America at this time, of not marrying, of deferring marriage or just opting out of being married. And he was talking about some of the advantages that they will quote for not being married, not being tied down. But then on the flip side, he started talking about a lot of the disadvantages and the things that people miss out on because they don't want to make that sort of a commitment, right? And it was a very interesting discussion. It makes me think a lot about community, because community is like family. And there are a lot of people today that want to sort of keep their options open. I've heard that FOMO has been replaced by FOBO. Have you heard this? Fear of better options. This is what the young people apparently now are latching onto. It's not just the fear of missing out, but it's a fear of better options coming along. So everyone wants to keep their options open and not commit to anything too tightly, kind of wait till the last second before they commit to something because fear of a better option coming along, something else that you might want to do. Well, I understand that mentality, but it's something that really hinders community and it really hinders family. And the fact is that community and family, relationships, it's not the easy path. It isn't, but it is the most fulfilling path. And it is the most meaningful path. And it is so worth it. Sometimes, you know, we just need to look back at a few pictures and to recognize the good that comes from commitment and the good that comes from being committed to other people, showing up even in those times when you're tired, showing up even when it's maybe not your cup of tea, it's not the thing that you would prefer, but recognizing there are other people that want to see you and there are people there that could be encouraged by you. It's the harder path, but it is the richer path, and I continue to encourage you toward it. Community is beautiful, and it's awesome. And we have a very good one and a very strong one here. I want to share with you what to expect in the upcoming 12 months as best I can, because as I said, you know, we're just sort of feeling this out, and we're seeing where God is leading us. But there are a few things I think I can say pretty safely. The first one is this: you can look forward to a budget that we can live within. And I can assure you this because our elders are not going to let us create one that we're not able to live within. And that's one of the things I appreciate about them. Some of us on staff, we like loose purse strings, but our elders are not really big on that. So our budgets have always had some faith built into them. I think every good budget does have a certain measure of faith, but we also like to err on the side of caution when it comes to setting a budget. There's actually an Old Testament word that we see in the Proverbs a lot. It's the word prudence, and it's a good word, and it's one that definitely applies to finance and to budgeting, and our elders make sure that we work with prudence when we're budgeting. The numbers are showing us that we're going to need to make some changes this year. And we've been talking a bit about that already, but that's what numbers do. And sometimes, you know, God shows his will through not only the abundance of resources, but even sometimes through a lack of resources. He can steer us and direct us through both of those things. And so we will have a budget that we can live within. We're not quite there. It's taken a little extra time, but we're very close. Second, you can count on us staying in outreach mode this year. We're going to continue to talk about getting out into the community, doing some of the same things that we started doing last year. Our anchor causes, we're going to keep those running. We want to keep reaching out to friends and neighbors. We're going to keep having really awesome events that we can invite people to come out to so that they can get connected. It's nice, as I was looking at some of those pictures, there are always some of those slides where you're like, oh, wait, who are those people? Or who are those people? And you recognize we are making connections with some new people. And it just takes persistence. In case you weren't clear on it, I want you to know generally what our strategy is at getting people to come to know Jesus and connect with our church, because we don't always talk about this clearly enough. We do in our in one of our classes on our Share Your Faith class, which we really want you to attend. So the next time we offer it, we would love for you to come to it. Right, Denise? Right? Yeah, exactly. So, but this is kind of what we do. We have these anchor causes and other events that we do. You have relationships, right? So you invite them to these things. People that you know, people that you're getting to know, invite them to come out. As they come out to those, then eventually, you know, we can maybe get them to a Sunday service or a Renew group, whichever would be more comfortable for them. Once we get them there, we invite them to Connection Point. If you come to Renew, you hear us talk about Connection Point all of the time. We're running it every few months. They come to Connection Point. If they are not familiar with what it means to have a relationship with Jesus, or they're not really sure about that, we ask them to take a class called That Man Called Jesus. It runs for 6 weeks, and it really gets into the Gospel of John, and it shows them exactly what Jesus himself said about having a relationship with God. When they've gone through that, almost everyone that goes through that class, if they hadn't been a follower of Jesus already, they commit to following Jesus. It's actually quite amazing. And then they get connected to Jesus and to the church. So just understand, that's sort of what we're kind of doing. So on the front end of that, those anchor causes and events are really important because those are sort of a first connection point for us. And we want you all to be aware of that. But we're going to be staying in outreach mode this year, all right? We're not letting up. Third thing to expect is getting back to Sunday morning, all right? We really want to get back to Sunday morning as soon as we can. I cannot tell you how close we are in this, but I can say that changes are imminent. We have a 6-week notice clause with Hope Church, and they know that, and we know that. So any changes that we make, we have to give them 6 weeks notice for that. But we are currently looking into options that would let us get back to meeting on Sunday morning. So you will be hearing more about that in upcoming weeks. So you don't want to miss a single week because there's so much exciting stuff happening and new things every week. So the fourth thing is we want to move toward permanency. If there's one thing that we kind of saw through COVID and then losing different campuses and stuff through that, is that having your own building, having a place that you can call your church location and home, it really is valuable because it does give a sense of permanency to your church. We know it's not the end-all and be-all, but it is something that's helpful. And so we do want to move in the long term toward a longer-term lease or even eventually owning some property. And so that is something that we're talking about more, and we are looking into that more. We will involve our members in any decisions that happen that move in that direction. And you can expect that we will have at least one member meeting this year. Those of you who signed up for membership, we will have at least one member meeting this year where we get everyone together, and it'll be sort of a town hall where you can get some deeper information on some things and get some questions answered, and we can kind of be working on some of these things together. Number five, what to expect, getting creative to make this number four happen. So we don't want to be passive when it comes to seeing this happen and just wait for something to fall from the sky. We want to actually see what could we do to see our church get to the place of having more permanency. How could we work toward that? So currently we are actually, I can tell you this much, we are actually playing with some creative ideas. One, which is a business idea that we could literally run within our church that could potentially make some good money for our church that we could put toward this. And it would be something separate from our operating budget. It would just be something that we could put money toward and save up toward doing something more long term. But we want to get creative in this, and we had a really good discussion at our elder meeting just a couple weeks ago, and we're going to continue to work on that. As we make more firm decisions on those things, we will make you aware of them. And the last one that you can be counting on this year is we're going to tell more stories. Our motto is find your life in a bigger story. That's what we're talking about here at Renew Church. You're going to hear that more and more. We want to, as we reach out into the community, help people realize that there's a bigger story going on. It's much bigger. It's much more impressive than anything that's going on in any individual's life. It is God who is the maker of life and of history. He's the one directing it. He's the one that created everyone who fits in it. He is the great director of this movie that we call life. And he's got something bigger for you to live out in your life. And so we're going to continue to use that motto of finding your life in a bigger story. And in fact, we want to do our next series starting next week called Find Your Life in the Bigger Story. If we're going to talk about this bigger story, we want you to know, what is the bigger story? We're going to talk about it over the next 4 weeks. What is this bigger story? You may be familiar with it, but you may not be, and you may not be aware of just how rich this story is or the part that God has for you to play in this story. So we're going to talk about that next week. One of the things that we're going to do is to have some video stories, one each week through this series, and we're going to try to keep more of those rolling through the year, where we just tell more stories of how God is working in people's lives and how people are finding their connection to God's bigger story here at Renew. So that's going to be happening. You guys know, hopefully, that our vision statement is as follows. Our vision is to grow a network of people throughout the GTA who are willing to lose their life to help others find theirs in Christ. And so we're aware of what Christ taught about laying our lives down. We find our life by losing it. We take up our cross every day. The cross is not a symbol of comfort. It's not a symbol of safety. It is a symbol of sacrifice and even of suffering. But we recognize that that is what we're called to as followers of Jesus. And so this is our vision. We're going to lay our lives down so that other people can find their true life in Jesus. And in the time that we have left here, I want you to turn in your Bible to Galatians chapter 6. It's not going to be on the board, so you need to open up a Bible or your device. And I just want to read something to you. Go ahead. You can look it up. I'll give you a second. Galatians chapter 6. I want to read just a little passage here and just pull out a couple of applications from it. And it goes along with what Darcy read earlier about life in the Spirit from Romans chapter 8. Paul says here, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." He's talking about community here, right? "For if anyone thinks he's something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. But let each of us test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load." In other words, we're all responsible in and of ourselves to commit to community and to commit to Christ and to do the things that he's called us to. Verse 6, "Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap." Now listen to what he's talking about when he talks about sowing and reaping. "For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." You see the two things? Sowing to the flesh is one. Sowing to the Spirit is another. And they both lead in totally different directions. "And let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not give up." And we assume here he's talking about reaping from a good crop, something good that we've sown. "So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." According to Paul here, guys, we are all sowing constantly. Every one of us is sowing. We're all throwing seed down all of the time. We talk about that here at Renew sometimes, you know, time, talent, treasure. You're giving your energy to something day by day. And the picture here is that whatever it is you're doing, you're throwing seed out, stuff that's going to go into the ground and it's going to grow into something. We're all spending our lives on either spiritual, eternal things or on fleshly, temporal things, probably a combination of those. But sowing, he says here, is always followed by reaping something, right? Whatever you sow, right, you're going to reap. Whatever goes into the ground, it's going to come up, whether it was good or whether it was bad. Some things, he says, result in a good harvest, and some things that we sow, they just rot. That's why he uses the word corruption here. We hear the word corruption, we think of like deep, evil kinds of things. Not necessarily. Corruption is just stuff that decays. It just rots because it really has no eternal value to it. Some of the things that we do, guys, they're not these horrific things that someone would, you know, notice or condemn us for. Some of it is just fleshly things that really have no benefit. They just kind of go into the ground and rot. They don't produce any good crop. And so the challenge in this passage is to make us think, what is it that we spend our time sowing? And the encouragement here is that we would sow to the Spirit. Sow to the Spirit. Sowing to the Spirit means spending your time on eternal things, on your faith, on sharing the good news of Jesus, on, you know, just spending time with people and helping people, showing love to them, giving time to community, like we've been talking about. And as it says here at the end of this passage, particularly the household of faith. If you can't give time to your own household of faith, you'll probably never get to the place of giving much time to people outside of the household of faith. That's pretty obvious. But we're to do both. And if you aren't seeing the fruit of your labor yet, Paul even gives us an encouragement there. If you are sowing in the Spirit and you're not seeing the fruit of that, he says, just be patient. If you're doing that, if you continue to sow to the Spirit, you will reap a good harvest. It's going to happen. It's coming. So let me give you a few examples of how to sow in the Spirit as we head into this new ministry year. And if we all want to be sowing in the Spirit, not just sowing to our flesh, but sowing to the Spirit, here's some examples of what you can do. Instead of binging 3 Netflix episodes tonight, I don't want to take away all your Netflix, trust me. How about watch 2, and then in the time that you would have watched the 3rd, just send text messages of encouragement to people, right? Sowing in the flesh, sowing in the Spirit, right? Just take some time to sow in the Spirit, to lay some seeds down that are eternal. Instead of just going out and enjoying yourself, maybe, you know, going to a restaurant or something, invite someone along. Turn what would be something that feeds your flesh into something that creates an eternal value. Instead of wasting time on your phone during your work break and just going through reels, right? Maybe take that time just to take a prayer walk, right? It's not bad for exercise too, but just go for a walk and in your mind, just pray for all of the things that you can think about praying for. You're laying down seeds, eternal investing. Instead of just planning your fun activities this week, take some time to look ahead on the calendar and to plan your spiritual activities and to prioritize those, because those are the ones that are going to bear eternal fruit, things that are going to live on and make a difference in other people's lives, right? I'm not saying, guys, that every fun thing that you do for yourself is bad. Definitely not. In fact, a lot of the good fun things that we do, they're important. You need to recharge your batteries, and those are spiritual activities as well. But we know sometimes when we're just feeding the flesh, right? We know sometimes when we're just kind of heaping up more time for ourselves, when we're protecting our own time and energy. God wants us to invest it in people and in spiritual activities. I want to end with this as the band comes up. Here's what I'm asking of you guys. This is what we need from each of us this year, all right? The first one, as we just talked about, we need you to sow in the Spirit. Just think of those words this year. Sow in the Spirit. Sow in the Spirit. Everything that you can do to sow in the Spirit. If you're wondering about what we do here at Renew, we had membership this year specifically so that we could draw out of God's Word kind of the handful of things that God is really expecting all of us to do. Right? They relate to worship, to our community, to discipleship, sharing your faith, leadership development, right? They relate to these things. And so we ask people, come to services, be part of a group, serve somewhere, give, right? Share your faith with other people. And so look up those membership requirements if you're really not sure, but those are things that we're asking of people. If you're still not in a Renew group, some of you signed the membership commitment and you said, I'm not in a group, but I will this fall. We're going to hold you to that if you sign that membership commitment, right? We want you to be in a group, and it's not for our benefit, it's for your benefit. You need to be in a group. You need to be sharing your life with other people, life on life. That's very biblical. And so if you need to know what groups are available, guess who you talk to? Denise, right? talk to Denise. She'll help you out, all right? Our group has room. We could take you in our group. We would love to have you. Second thing, we want you to pull together. Community is what it's about, and we need to pull together. Help people. If you notice people that are hurting, reach out to them and help them. Check in with people before there's a problem. Keep those relationships fresh, right? Help those that you know that are struggling or that have gone through a difficult time. We all have to pull together. Third one, pray with faith and expectancy, all right? Pray with faith and expectancy. Like I said, our first value is dependence. And I want you to pray this year, not just like out of routine, but pray knowing that God is hearing, that he wants what we want as well, if we're praying in the Spirit, right? That he also wants us to put down deeper roots here in this community. He also wants us to find ways to be more effective. And so pray for those things and pray expecting that he will show us. And the last one, prepare to be flexible, because honestly, this is going to be a bit of a roller coaster ride this year. But roller coasters are fun, right? Right? I don't actually like roller coasters. But God is with us. Be flexible, and we're going to get through it. I want to have a little prayer of commitment for you before the band closes, okay? Why don't we all stand together? Father, I thank you so much for our community here, for our Renew Church community. I thank you for each person that participates in it. Lord, you know each heart here. You know everything that we've been through this year. You know the things that are encouraging to us. You know the things that hold us back. Even things that we don't share with other people, Lord, you know all of them. And so I pray that you would meet each person right where they're at and encourage them. Help all of us to be committed to community and accountability with one another, that we wouldn't wait until we're in crisis before we just reach out and connect. I pray that we would support each other. Our first commitment, Lord, is to you, but also to your family, your household of faith. And if we can do that, Lord, I think we'll very naturally also start reaching out to those around us, and they will see the love that we have for each other. So, Lord, help us to be loving. Help us, Lord, to commit to the things that we've said are important, to live out of those commitments. Help us to prioritize those things. Help us, Lord, to sow to the Spirit. It's so easy to sow to the flesh. It's what our whole flesh cries out for, and it's so easy to listen to. It's what makes us feel good. It's comfortable. It's safe. It's fun. But Lord, you've called us to something bigger than that. You've called us to sacrifice. You've called us to glory so that someday we can look back and know that we made sacrifices that had eternal value. And like gold, they will shine. And we will praise you for leading the way to the cross and showing us how to live here in this life as a light for you. Lord, thank you. I pray that you would help us in all the things we do this year. Help us to be a real light in this community. Help us to continue to reach out and make those connections. Fill us with your Spirit day by day. Help, Lord, those that are struggling financially in their relationships, whatever way that they might be, in their health. Lord, just bring support to them. Help us to be your hands and feet in that process. And in all of this, Lord, the glory is for you. We do everything for your glory. And your name will ever be on our lips. We pray in Jesus' name.
Join us every Sunday at 4 p.m. at 7755 10th Line West in Mississauga. Or visit us online at renewchurch.ca/connect.